international transformation and success coach Myrna Morris Young delivers life-changing strategies as the host of the Mindset Transformations radio show and podcast. Myrna shares these strategies from success achieved in her own personal journey and by interviewing other best-selling authors and coaches. Each show gives you practical tips on living your best life now by changing your mindset to change your life. I am grateful that you have tuned in today from all over the world. I believe that the Spirit of God led you here so that you can receive insight, revelation, and knowledge to see the next step in front of you as God reveals his purpose and destiny in your life. And now, here's Coach Myrna.
Welcome to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today I am going to be talking to you directly as a coach, and I want to talk on the subject, When Breath Becomes Air, 7 Ways to Manifest a Virtuous and Meaningful Life. This topic comes today from the book by Dr. Paul Kananathi, a neurosurgeon who, at the age of 36 and on the verge of completing a decade worth of training as a neurosurgeon, was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. One day he was a doctor treating the dying, and the next he was a patient struggling to live. And just like that, the future he and his wife had imagined evaporated. When Breath Becomes Air chronicles Dr. Kananathi's transformation from a naive medical student possessed, as he wrote, by the question of what, given that all organisms die, makes a virtuous and meaningful life, into a neurosurgeon at Stanford working in the brain, the most critical place for human identity, and finally into a patient and new father confronting his own mortality. So we ask the question, what makes life worth living in the face of death? What do you do when the future, no longer a ladder towards your goals in life, flattens out into a perpetual present? What does it mean to have a child, to nurture a new life as another fades away? These are some of the questions Dr. Kananathi wrestles with in his profoundly moving and exquisitely observed memoir. So let me play for you a clip that I found on Good Morning America that talks a little bit about Dr. Kananathi. Here we go.
We have a sad and beautiful story now about a father's gift to his daughter. In the New York Times bestselling memoir, When Breath Becomes Air, Dr. Paul Kananathi shares the transformational power of giving life as he comes to terms with his own mortality. Yahoo's chief global anchor, Katie Couric, has his story.
Paul Kananathi was the modern definition of a Renaissance man. He majored in English and biology at Stanford and went on to earn master's degrees in both English literature and philosophy before heading to Yale.
We met as first year medical students, and at first I thought he was like this boring guy who wanted to be a doctor and he was really serious, and then I realized that on his medical school ID he was wearing a fake mustache, and so that was when I first had a crush on him.
Paul continued his medical career becoming a neurosurgeon at Stanford, where his wife Lucy is an internist. Their lives and careers were soaring, but at 36, Paul got some devastating news. Although he never smoked, he was diagnosed with lung cancer, stage 4.
We had seen that bad things can happen. You know, when you're a doctor, you see that day in and day out, and we sort of had this feeling of, oh my gosh, it's our turn now.
How did cancer change your relationship?
After he got diagnosed, I said, what do you need from me? Do you want to travel with your brothers? Do you want me to help you accomplish something that doesn't include me? And for him to essentially say, No, I want to be with you in our house. I want to go back to our honeymoon destination. I want to spend my whole life with you. When we knew it might mean a year or two, was so romantic and amazing.
Paul wanted to chronicle his final days in a memoir called When Breath Becomes Air, now a New York Times bestseller. But that wasn't the only legacy he would leave behind. He and Lucy decided to have a baby.
I asked him, you know, don't you think that having a child to say goodbye to will make your death more painful? And his answer really astounded me. He said, well, wouldn't it be great if it did? And what he meant by that was, if a child brings us such a degree of meaning that it becomes even more painful to leave,
better to have experienced that meaning and that level of love.
Yeah. And then when she was born, we were so thrilled. And his book title is When Breath Becomes Air. And I kind of look back and I think for her, that was the moment when air became breath.
There is perhaps only one thing to say to this infant who is all future, overlapping briefly with me, whose life, barring the improbable, is all but past. That message is simple. You filled a dying man's days with a sated joy, a joy unknown to me in all my prior years, a joy that does not hunger for more and more, but rests satisfied.
In this time, right now, that is an enormous thing.
Oh, goodness.
What does he know about living?
Whew.
Welcome back to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show. I'm your host, Coach Marnie Young, and you were just listening to a YouTube recording speaking about Dr. Colonnati's debt and his life as far as his book, When Breath Becomes Air. What I want to talk about today is the question that Dr. Colonnati asked, how does life have meaning? So I want to share with you seven ways to manifest a virtuous and meaningful life, that your breath becomes air. Now, we all know the age-old saying that tomorrow is not promised. So what are you doing today to live before you die? So I would like to take you into a journey of living, how to live before you die. I ask you the question, what makes a virtuous and meaningful life for you? Psychologist says that for you to live a virtuous and meaningful life, you should have balance in seven areas. One, you should have a fulfilling career. That is, you're doing what you love. You should have a relationship with a higher power, God. You must be fruitful and multiply. You should offer your service to your community. You must have effective time management and stress reduction. You must get quality sleep, adequate exercise, and proper nutrition. You should spend quality time with your loved ones, friends, and family. So what I'm going to do today is I am going to look at each one of these manifestations so that you can have an in-depth look at what they say makes a purposeful and meaningful life. The first one, a fulfilling career. Most people don't do what they love. They work to live, so they live to work. I saw a viral picture a few weeks back on Instagram that made me chuckle. It was a picture of a man crying with the caption, "When you realize that it's only 9:30 and you have seven more hours to go." Wow, that's how a lot of us feel. You know, we look at that clock and it doesn't go any faster when you're looking at it. So I ask the question, how do you find passion? how do you work in your passion or work on your passion? And the answer is, you have to listen to your soul. If you are dreading going to work, hate it all the time that you are there, and you are not serving or making a difference in the lives of others, then just quit. Step out in faith. Faith, you know, the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Yeah, that faith. You have to believe that God will fund your purpose if it is His will. Let's look at Paul before Saul. On the road to Damascus, Saul encountered Christ in a memorable experience that left him temporarily blind. Immediately, he started to undergo a major transformation of his whole life and character, including a total reorientation of his world's view. Following this, he was commissioned into service as an apostle to the Gentiles. Paul's story highlights the three dynamics of a meaningful life: the relational, the transformational, and the vocational. We must not choose one and neglect the others. The relational experience in a meaningful life results in openness to others, healing, progress towards Christ-likeness, and participation in God's purpose in the world. The transformational concerns how we transform after being touched by God and the Holy Spirit. And that's the focus of this show. Just as all Saul's beliefs, mindsets, and values were altered, so can yours. This show's mission is to offer you advice on how to do just that. The vocational is what we are talking about, and it is how God works through us. I am doing God's work right now. He is giving me the purpose of speaking life into all who are listening. So, choose your vocation wisely and work as unto the Lord. And as you wrap up this particular topic, know this for sure, that the quickest and most direct path to sickness and death is to linger in stressful situations. All diseases can be traced back to inflammation. Inflammation is brought on by stress and negative emotions. So the longer you linger in a job that you hate, yes, you're getting a direct path to sickness, as we started to talk about, similar to what Dr. Kalanetti had. So, find your purpose and step out on faith. As a coach, I can help you design a plan to get you there quicker. Okay, the next one is a relationship with a higher power. Now, we all know this. This is no secret, that we are dual beings living a physical and a non-physical experience. Our spirit inhabits the body we see. We are spiritual beings having an earthly experience. The most important barometer to living a meaningful and virtuous life is to connect with Source and understand why your soul chose this time to manifest into a physical being. Understand what you're here to do. When you meditate, you open communication with your Source and raise energy and infinite intelligence. This is the gateway. This is the path to a meaningful life. When you're in connection with Source, you get fed instructions to live a meaningful and virtuous life. It is a two-way communication. You ask and you receive. So, don't stay in that job that's killing you. Ask your source to direct you to the right job. Listen for the instructions and how to do it the supernatural way, not by your own limited powers. I'm telling you this from personal experience, that this works. I receive instructions every morning, either in bed before I rise, during meditation, or later in the day. It just pops into my head. And this is what I do. I act on my inspirations, and they always produce fruit. And because I act on them, I keep receiving more and more. If you don't act on your gut instincts will stop coming. The Bible teaches that you shouldn't do anything in your own strength. Everything begins with your relationship with God and the improved quality of other relationships that develop out of this. In the intimacy of such a personal relationship, something of God's own character gradually spills over into yours. It stimulates our transformation. From our new awareness and knowing that God loves us comes an increased confidence and boldness to face life challenges and opportunities. It motivates and empowers us to take more risks. It becomes a platform for a whole new approach to courageous and virtuous living. So, value your relationship with God. You know, when I became a new Christian, I used to love, I still do, but you know, when anything is new, it always feels much more intense. I used to love going to church and feeling that intimate connection to God. I would cry most of the times. It is a relationship that brings you joy and pleasure and bliss. And it makes you more Christ-like. So embrace it. Okay, so now we're on to the next instruction. Be fruitful and multiply and repopulate the earth. Those are the instructions that God gives to us way back in Genesis. He also made another promise. He said, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward." Can you truly have lived a meaningful and virtuous life if you have not multiplied yourself? In the Bible age, women who were barren were believed to be cursed. In today's age, bearing a child is still considered to be one of the most rewarding and sought-after experiences in life. God hardwires unconditional love to the mother, a love that transforms hearts, an energy that is quantum. That means it can be felt over great distances by just thinking of your child. I can tell you that the birth of my two children were the most meaningful things I've ever done in my life. They are my reward, a gift that keeps on giving and giving, like the Energizer Bunny. Now, the second question Dr. Kalanithi asked as he faced his mortality was, how do you nurture your child to live as year fades away? You see, Dalai Kanati and his wife decided to accept God's plan for them to be fruitful and multiply. They decided to leave a legacy behind, so they had a baby together, as you heard from the original story that I played for you. Now, the thought of leaving behind a child only increased pain for Dr. Kalanithi. We would all agree that leaving behind loved ones is the most painful part of death. That is why we must live each day as if it's our last. We must impart all the love, knowledge, and wisdom into our children when we are alive, so as they grow older, they would not depart from it, and you will continue to live on in their thoughts and their hearts. So, be fruitful, multiply, and repopulate the earth. That is a direct command from God. And you must have that in some form in order to live a meaningful life. If you don't bear children yourself, you can be a parent to someone, either by adopting or by family, but you need to have that connection. It is very, very fruitful and rewarding. Okay, the next one we're going to talk about is to be of service to your community. Your success is in direct proportion to your service. We must put the fuel in before we get the heat. No man can get rich by himself unless he enriches the lives of others. To lead, you must first serve. Your purpose in life will always include service to others. I want to share with you a story that I found regarding volunteers who feed the soul at the Ronald McDonald House. There's a special connection that comes with preparing meals for others too heartbroken to cook for themselves. Making those dinners with a group of volunteers brings an intimacy and humility that cannot be matched. And one of the best spots I know to do that is at the Ronald McDonald House in Falls Church, Virginia, a place that offers comfort, refuge, and care for families whose children are battling life-threatening illnesses. Jerron Brown, 64, chops broccoli as she serves a salad for 14 family members staring at the house. A social worker and former McDonald's executive, she once danced for a minute with the Alvin L. Haley's dance company. Her previous corporate position earned her a seat at the Ronald McDonald's House Charities Board in Norfolk, Virginia. And she began volunteering with the Falls Church Ronald McDonald House 6 years ago. We do whatever is needed, Brown says, of the volunteer work. That can mean cooking a meal, cleaning the house, rotating refrigerated food, or writing thank you notes. Although volunteers and families don't often stay in touch after leaving the house, Brown has kept in contact with a few families over the years. It's great to hear our families are doing and learn about the children's recovery process, she says. Erin Petrie, the evening manager, joins us. I give her an onion to chop and hope she doesn't cry. A few minutes later, another volunteer, Beverly Johnson, comes in. Volunteering with the Ronald McDonald House was on her bucket list after suffering the loss of a child years ago. A place like the Ronald McDonald's House would have been helpful to her, she says. I can relate to what the families are experiencing, and that's what makes it so special and so rewarding to me, she says as she chops apples. The families begin to enter the dining room. Several of them are drawn to the aroma of pineapple chicken simmering on the stovetop. We finish the broccoli salad and set it on the counter next to the stove with the chicken and rice. It smells delicious and comforting, and we are happy that we have given these families what can only be a positive event for them in this day. Johnson offers to clean up, and I happily accept. It's a good therapy for me, she says, of her Ronald McDonald housework. I think I've found my niche. And that's what we mean by serving in the community. There can be no better rewarding experience than helping someone get over the pain, get over the loss. You know, if they're homeless or hungry, and that you can help. And, you know, a crazy thing happens. That whenever you help others, then your problems disappear. It's like whenever you give, you always get much more in return. So remember to serve in the home or in the community. It is what God asked you to do. And it's one of the ways to live a meaningful and purposeful life. Okay, next we are going to look at effective time management. The key to a stress-free life is effective time management. If you're always working in the red zone of deadlines, you will experience burnout. Effective time management is scheduling your day to work on top priority tasks before you work on the C or D priority tasks. When you do this, you will eliminate stress. Effective time management also means that you plan your days to include the things that give your life meaning, like walking in nature, exercise, reading, sitting quietly to reflect or meditate, and spending quality time with your loved ones, of course, and proper rest. So, manage your time wisely. Balance your life. Because if you don't, then your life is just moving faster than you would like, and that does not make for quality life. You would be like the Energizer Bunny, going and going and going and going, or a hamster on a wheel, actually. That's probably a better one. A hamster on a wheel, just turning your wheels, but not stopping to smell the roses and do the things that actually makes quality life. Okay, so let's take a quick station break, and we'll be right back to talk about some of the other ways that you can live a quality and meaningful life so your breath does not just become air. Be right back.
If you are listening to this broadcast, it means that you are hungry for growth, hungry for change, hungry for insights, revelation, and knowledge. Whatever you need in your life, you will receive it today. For the past 20 years, Myrna has been an entrepreneur. As past CEO of Royal Livery Limousine Service and now CEO of My Help's Coaching and Consulting Services, Myrna has achieved good success. Awarded Entrepreneur of the Year, Myrna knows what it takes to help you be successful. Myrna helps her coaching clients to design a practical plan to close the gap of where they are today and where they would like to be tomorrow. In business, relationships, health, or career goals. That is why Myrna is offering a free one-hour strategy session valued at $150, totally free. No strings attached. If you are listening right now, go to www.MyrnaYoungHelps.com/contact.us and sign up now for a free session with Coach Myrna. She has helped business owners and other clients just like you overcome their obstacles and set them on a path to success. Take advantage of this offer today. Go to www.MyrnaYoungHelps.com/contact.us right now.
Welcome back to Mindset Transformation Radio Show. I'm your host, Coach Myrna, and today we are talking on the topic, When Breath Becomes Air, 7 Ways to Manifest a Virtuous and Meaningful Life. So now we are going to talk on getting quality sleep, good nutrition, and exercise. Now, physical exercise releases endorphins, it improves sleep, it prevents diseases, it relieves stress, it prevents dementia, it prolongs life. I can go on and on and on. Everybody knows that exercise is good for your body, mind, and soul, yet few do it because they have not effectively manage their time, so they never have any time to do it. But since our topic today is when breath becomes air, how to live a virtuous and meaningful life, I think everybody listening would want to have a quality life, one that would include being healthy and independent. And the most effective way to ensure this is to get regular exercise, adequate nutrition, and proper rest. In his book, The Eat to Live Plan, John Furman, MD, says it this way. Your body is designed for wellness. Give it the right biochemical environment for healing, and it becomes a miraculous self-healing machine. When you eat mostly high-nutrient foods, the body ages slower and is armed to prevent and reverse many common illnesses like type 2 diabetes, even type 1. So this is his exercise prescription. Exercise is extremely important. Almost everyone can do something. Even those who cannot walk can do arm and abdominal and back exercises with light weights, or they can use an arm cycle. A few shows back, I profiled a guy that came out of the Army with injuries, and he was 300 pounds, severely overweight, and he couldn't walk. And he lost over 100 pounds by doing yoga exercises, because he said exactly this, that he can get an aerobic exercise by using his arms, and that's what he did. So if you want it badly enough, you will find ways to do it. Exercise will facilitate your weight loss and make you healthier. Now, vigorous exercise has the powerful effect on promoting longevity. So vigorous exercise, that would be running, playing tennis, maybe walking the Stairmaster, you know, anything that makes you sweat, I'm assuming that's vigorous exercise. Okay, and now we come to the big one, relationships, which has the effect of making our life the most meaningful outside of a relationship with God. We need people. People need people. And healthy relationships, or any relationship for that matter, is how we measure happiness most of the time. So spending quality time with your loved ones is how we're going to round up the seven. In human affairs, their efforts and their results. The strength of the effort is the measure of the result. We know this to be a fact. If you study your test, you will get a better grade. If you make more sales calls, you will get more sales. If you spend quality time with your spouse, you will have a better marriage, guaranteed. And if you spend quality time with your kids, then they wouldn't have to act out looking for your attention. So Joel Osteen says this, invest in your relationships. If you want your relationships to thrive, you must invest in them. Be a giver rather than a taker. Strive to make deposits into the lives of your loved ones and other people's lives. Encourage them, build them up, and help them to feel better about themselves. One of the best advice I received on my wedding day was to look at my marriage as a bank account, that you can't make withdrawals if you make no deposits. And Joel says the same thing. He says, to look at your relationships like an emotional bank account. Every time you interact with your loved ones or your friends, you are either making a deposit or a withdrawal from your account. You make deposits in the lives of your loved ones by giving them a hug, a kiss, telling them how much you love them, spending quality time with them, listening to them when they speak, or being involved in the things that they like to do, like playing the piano, playing sports, painting, etc. We make withdrawals, on the other hand, when we don't take time for people. We don't keep our commitments, when we don't express appreciation. When we make more withdrawals than deposits, our bank account becomes overdrawn, and so does your relationship account. Same principle. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5:3, the dream comes through much effort, and the voice of a fool through many words. Now, we're going to use this quote to, you know, support our 7 rules for living a meaningful and virtuous life. So, having a meaningful and virtuous life comes through much effort. You can't just have the knowledge and don't put it into action. You just can't talk about wanting to live a meaningful life and not put the effort in. So, having a meaningful and fulfilling career takes effort. You must learn the skills and then work hard to move up through the corporate ladder if that's your intention, or building your business. You must put in the time. You must understand your industry, and you have to get the skills. If you don't have it, you have to learn it. It takes effort. Having a relationship with God also takes effort. You have to find a time to meditate. You have to find a time to sit quietly. You have to find a time to listen for instructions. And you have to find a time to put God first and spend some time either praying, going to church, or doing his work. Being a good parent also takes a lot of effort. You are responsible for someone else. Someone else is depending on you. It takes a lot of effort. And sometimes it's a thankless job. But, you know, we all love doing it. Being of service to your community takes supreme effort. Most of you are going to ask me, who has the time? But something happens, as I mentioned earlier, when you help the less fortunate. When you work at the soup kitchen and feed the hungry, you find your humanity. And all your piddly little problems seems insignificant. So, as much as you're serving them, they're serving you right back. It takes effort to manage your time effectively and not become reactionary. It takes effort to make sure you're eating a balanced diet and taking your supplements. It takes effort to get up early to exercise or to do it after a long day. But if you want to live a long and meaningful life, you will make the effort. You will do it. Namaste. Now, if you found this segment inspirational, be sure to share it with your friends. Please subscribe to my iTunes podcast called Transform Your Mind with Coach Myrna. Or if you would like to be a guest on the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and podcast, be sure to email me at info@myhelps.us. The same if you would like to become a sponsor. Or you can contact me on my website at MyrnaYoungHelps.com. So, until next time, you have yourself a pleasant evening.